As Jesus left the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, look, what awesome stones and buildings." Jesus responded, "Do you see these enormous buildings? Not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished." Jesus was sitting at the Mount of Olives across from the temple. Peter, James,
John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? What sign will show that
all these things are about to come to an end?" Jesus said, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many people will come in my name saying, 'I'm the one.' They will deceive many people. When you hear of wars and reports of wars, don't be alarmed. These things must happen, but this isn't the end yet. Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other, and there will be earthquakes and famines in all sorts of places. These things are just the beginning of the sufferings associated with the end. Watch out for yourselves. People will hand you over to the councils. You will be beaten in the synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings because of me, so that you can testify before them. First, the good news must be proclaimed to all nations. When they haul you in and hand you over, don't worry ahead of time about to say in answer. Instead, say whatever is given to you at the moment. You aren't doing the speaking. The Holy Spirit is. Brothers and sisters will hand each other over to death. A father will turn in his children. Children will rise up against their parents and have them executed. Everyone will hate you because of my name. But whoever stands firm until the end will be saved."
There's a story of the moderator of a church council asking for a meeting with the pastor. And the moderator says, "I've got good news and bad news, pastor." Pastor says, "Well, what's the good news?" "Well, the job description you gave us for your position is so inspiring, we love it. And the bad news is that we formed a search committee to help us fill the position." Knock-knock jokes and good news, bad news jokes can give us a quick laugh, and God knows we can use some humor these days. Good news, bad news jokes make me think of the scripture passages like the one we have today. Is there any good news hidden in this? For when we say we're promoting the gospel, the word gospel is interpreted itself as good news. So what we hope is that by sharing the stories of our earliest faith ancestors and their faithfulness, and the stories of Jesus and the example he gave us, we will indeed find some good news to hold on to. And yet sometimes scripture stories seem to contain lots of emotion other than good news. Or at least they contain more good news, bad news theology, where we can't find good news. And what Lynn just read, I don't know about you friends, but it's sort of tough for me to see what the good news is in that. Today's story gives this picture of Jesus and some of his disciples chatting about life. They've been to church, and they've come out of the temple. And as they do, one of the disciples says, "Hey, look at these large stones. Look at these great buildings." And let's pause here just a bit and recognize what this meant. It wasn't just a casual observation about the surroundings. Rather, the wording here was meant to portray that the disciples felt that their most sacred place, the temple, and all its surroundings were strong and beyond destruction. It's as if they were saying, look, Jesus, our church is strong and resistant to outside forces. Look, Jesus, our church is strong and resistant even to inside squabbles and disagreements. Our church is resilient. We are resilient. And then Jesus hears that proclamation of strength and says, you see all these strong buildings and these rocks? Not one will be left. In other words, you are not as resilient as you think. Even the strongest Christian, even the strongest church has risk of being destroyed from without or within. I've got good news and I've got bad news. Jesus and the disciples make their way to the Mount of Olives, and this isn't the first time that the Bible has Jesus teaching from there. And as they're sitting on the mountain, and disciples begin to digest what Jesus has foretold on their walk. Indeed, they begin to wonder when all hell would break loose. Now remember, church, that during the time of Mark's writing, there was a great divide between Jews and Gentiles, between Jews and Jews, between Gentiles and Gentiles, folks arguing about how to follow Jesus or if to follow Jesus, how to follow God, and how to prove their devotion. And just like today, people were staunchly divided by religion and politics and socioeconomic statuses. So here they are, though, on the mountain, fresh out of church. And Peter, James, and John, and Andrew ask Jesus privately, Jesus, just when will this destruction occur? Isn't that an interesting detail that they ask Jesus privately? Did they ask privately because they wanted to be in the know for their own purposes? You know, to prepare themselves, get everything they needed to get before the word got out and others could join in safety and security? Or did they ask privately because they didn't think the crowd could handle the truth? Did they ask privately because, as close followers of Jesus, they were afraid to admit their fear and their anxiety and their doubts in public? I don't know. But they asked Jesus privately, and he begins to give more good news. Good news like warnings. People will come and give you a false gospel. They will sound legit. They'll look legit. But what they're saying will not be within the realm of God's vision. And I got to tell you, this statement by Jesus causes me a bit of unrest. Because the truth is, there are a lot of the loudest pulpits or preachers with the largest paychecks that advise people that the good news gospel message of Bluegrass United Church of Christ is false. See, they say that God does not celebrate love no matter the gender of the folks sharing it together. It's the same churches and pastors that we've invited to interfaith worship, but they won't come because they do not believe it's possible to have many paths to the divine. So I know how it feels to be accused of being a wolf in sheep's clothing. Jesus told these guys to be aware of people who are not proclaiming to give a gospel message that does not align with the example of Jesus. And when examined closely, the example of Jesus is one who constantly went against the grain, one who challenged civic authorities, one who consistently welcomed those who had been marginalized or excluded from society, the Jesus, the one who welcomed strangers and tax collectors and prostitutes and women and children and eunuchs to God's beloved family. Jesus warned them, and us, if we'll listen, to ask ourselves if everything we do and say, does it match up with God's vision or with ours? In this private teaching session, Jesus tells him, evaluate. Discern if it matches up, and beware if it does not. Jesus continues telling them signs to watch for. More good news. Nations rising against one another. Wars and rumors of wars. Earthquakes and famines. Now, it's no secret this verse has been used by evangelicals, Kenny, to warn their followers that the end is near. And it might happen before they get home. So join the church before you leave. The only thing is that these wars between nations and within nations, they've been around from the beginning of time. As have earthquakes, and much bigger ones than we've experienced, and famines, well, that too, since the beginning of time. I wonder what these four guys were thinking and feeling about now. This good news they were hearing from Jesus. Fresh from temple worship, they get this good news from Jesus himself. Temples destroyed, nations and people fighting with one another, folks going hungry to the point of death. Where is the good news, my friends? And then, as if we thought it would never come, we read on. Verse 10, and the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. Jesus is saying, the good news is up to you. You will have to proclaim the good news in the midst of war and destruction. You will have to rise above the challenges and pushbacks to what you know to be the right way to be and act in the world. All around you will be signs of utter chaos and division. All around you, things will seem hopeless. You may even feel hopeless. And yet the good news must be proclaimed. Not just when you're coming off temple highs, but when you're suffering from worldly lows. I don't know about you, but I'd be wanting some further instruction here. And on point, Jesus gives it. Verse 11. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you're ought to say, but say whatever is given you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Our brothers and sisters, Jesus was reminding them that God's presence never leaves, and that in times of personal and community despair, God will guide us. God will guide us through the medical diagnosis we didn't see coming. God will be with us through the relationship demise of significant others or family members or church members and friends. God will be with us in the grief and the disappointment. And God will be with us through every challenge of life. Jesus says to them, don't worry. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say and do and be. Yet the problem is that, at least for me, all too often we just wing it on our own. In so many ways, we try to bull our way through and fix things. Or just the opposite. We just sit and wait for something or someone to change our lives or that of the world. Friends, this scripture makes it pretty clear how the good news of God's love will be known. Evaluate the messages we hear, and then, having matched them up against the example of Jesus, we move into our lives and the world with hope and healing and love and grace. For whether we see Jesus as Messiah or Jesus as this incredible prophet and rabbi, his example is hard to argue with, isn't it? Of healing and hope, of inclusion and love, of grace and forgiveness, of continuing to try to keep people in relationship and call out for justice in the world. So we have to recognize we can't do this thing called life on our own devices or in our own way. We will run up against the wall every time. But rather, this calls us to prayerful guidance, which can give us a clear direction. Jesus said to his disciples that day, "I've got bad news. Really bad news. But I also have really good news. Things in your life and things in the world are sometimes going to be very challenging, and things will seem lost. But you are never alone, and you are never lost and away from God's love and God's presence. It's true what I said to the kids. We can run and hide, lay and hide, but God's always looking for us to come back, to come back and touch home base. May we hear God say, I'm it. I am that guidance for you and that love for you. It's there. God is there. But the truth is, it's up to us to allow the Holy Spirit to live in and through us. Day by day, ours for the asking. There's an old song that I'm sure Kenny knows, probably many of you know. It came to my mind even this morning as I was reviewing the sermon, and it was something like, Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon God's word. Good news. Good news indeed.